At Daleville Christian Church, we encourage you to claim what you believe with the apostles. For the apostle wrote in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, which is our affirmation of faith this day, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The reading of God's Word today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter, the first 4 verses, traditionally known as the temptation of Jesus, but we cover just the first of the 3 temptations that Jesus endured on behalf of Satan, the devil, and it will be apparent in the message why the first one is the focus. Matthew 4, 1 through 4. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today we take a topic that I am almost certain I have never covered. So we're both in for a treat, I guess. The topic is fasting. Going without food for spiritual or religious purposes. Why would I now, today, preach on the topic of fasting? Is it because I'm just back from vacation and perhaps need to do some fasting from eating? Fasting from eating so well while on vacation? Maybe, but actually, no. However, that does make a first point about fasting. None of us should use spiritual tools for selfish reasons. Prayer is a good example. Prayer is not for the purpose of advancing our agenda. Prayer is for the purpose of advancing God's agenda, right? Fasting is not to be used for weight loss purposes so as to serve one's self. Fasting is for the purpose of furthering God's agenda. So what do we learn from God's word about fasting, going without food? We will take some time looking at the kinds of fasts that are mentioned in the Bible. Fasting may not be as simple as you have thought. You might have thought that you're not very interested in this topic. However, I know that some of you have fasted certain foods, especially in the Lenten season before Easter. Fasting in the season before Easter is an ancient church practice. However, all of us practice fasting every day. You eat breakfast, which means that you are eating to break your fast from the night before when you stopped eating. That's what the word breakfast means. You break your fast. The word breakfast comes from an Old English word meaning morning meal. Now, maybe you sleep all day until dinner time. That's okay, too, because our word for dinner is also from an Old English word disner, meaning the first meal of the day. And we used that word until the middle of the 13th century. Some of you remember that, right? Just kidding. So we all have some experience with fasting. What does the Bible say? Well, the word fasting appears in the Bible 25 times. Now, there are additional references to fasting in the Bible, but the word fasting occurs just 25 times. Why might a person fast? What are the reasons for fasting? Well, the most basic reason to fast is focus. This is especially true in ancient times in history when meal preparation could take a lot of time. There was no running to the grocery or the quick stop or the fast food restaurant. In ancient times, you might have to get up and grind your grain before you could even start to bake it or cook it. Also, you probably have to draw water to cook in order to eat, so depending on how close you live to your water source, you might be taking a hike just to start preparing a breakfast, let alone cooking, preparing, and eating the meal. So, eliminate all that work in a fast, and you can focus on God. You can pray. And remember that fasting was taking place in Jesus' culture, a culture where food could be scarce. There were regular famines due to weather or locusts or just crop failure. There's little evidence that food was abundant. Jesus even had to address the issue in the Sermon on the Mount, saying, "Do not worry about what you will eat." And in Jesus' day, very few people carried a little extra weight. If you were fasting in Judea in the time of Jesus, you were participating in a dedicated exercise. In physical terms, fasting puts your body in submission to higher purposes, the higher purpose of your relationship with the Lord. Our bodies make demands on us all day long. Fasting makes the claim that you will focus so much on your relationship with God that even your demanding body will take a back seat to what God wants. God's people had prescribed times of fasting. There were also traditional times of fasting, probably dating back to the period of Noah and before. The prophet Joel reminds us of another purpose of fasting. A person might fast in order to repent. Assuming that our sins are usually fleshly, the penitent purpose reels in the flesh to gain some control again over the flesh in order to walk the narrow way of God. The prophet Joel says, chapter 2, verse 12, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." So the prophet Joel appreciates that the physical fast is a sign of the heart's doing. Fasting, weeping, and mourning are body things that we do, but it's a part of the heart's return, the heart's repentance before God. And this brings us to the ritual of fasting in ancient Israel. The tradition mentioned in the Bible in several places, and I can't provide all the Bible references for you, in several places people fast while they are mourning. They would mourn for the dead. They would fast for as long as a week. People also would fast in mourning for their sins. Although the Jewish law appears to only mention fasting for one whole day during two of the holy days in Israel's calendar. These were the 2 days all of the nation, all of the people of Israel should be fasting. I remind you that we do not know what type of fast they were doing. Were they going without all food? Were they going without all food until sundown, which began the Jewish day? By the way, Muslims have a month of fasting, but it only means they do not eat during the day. They do eat an evening meal every day in the month of fasting. Is the ancient Israel practice similar? We really do not know. Did Israelites fast from preparing and eating the food? Did that mean that they could still eat any food still available in the house that was already prepared or could be eaten without preparation, like dried beans or day-old bread or smoked fish? Jews, like the Pharisees, did not cook on the Sabbath, and yet they still ate on the Sabbath. So if they fasted, could they eat food that was already prepared? We don't know. John the Baptizer ate only locusts and honey. This would be considered a type of fasting. A vegetarian diet would be considered a type of fasting in our society, since meat is abundant. Remember that John was calling people to repentance. John's diet or fast may be a part of that penitence. Fasting to mourn the dead and fasting to mourn for one's own sins were a part of the rituals of ancient Judaism. They are signs of piety, and I mean no more by piety than that a person seeks to be religious or reverent. That may be important because Jesus fasted. Jesus is not sorry for any sins he has committed, since Jesus did not commit sins. But Jesus is fasting because Jesus is fully participating with Jesus' people. We discussed this at Bible study on Wednesday. Jesus died for our sins, but Jesus lived for our righteousness. What the teacher R.C. Sproul states in his notes. Jesus died for our sins, but Jesus lived for our righteousness. Jesus showed us the way. Since Jesus had just been baptized and the Spirit placed Jesus in the desert, a desolated place where there isn't much food on trees because there aren't any trees, very little grows there. Jesus fasted there to focus on the Heavenly Father's will just prior to his going on the mission that the Heavenly Father sent him to do. How do we know that that is why Jesus fasted? Because the devil appears to Jesus in the desert for the purpose of throwing Jesus off the divine path of the Heavenly Father. Jesus fasted. That would be reason enough to recommend fasting to us as a regular practice. Jesus fasted for 40 days, says Matthew 4:2. Luke states that Jesus ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. In addition to that, one of the questions to Jesus was about fasting. Directly, Jesus was asked, "Why don't your disciples fast?" I'm not going to take time with Jesus' answer. However, the Pharisees and their disciples fasted every week. So, Jesus, how come your disciples don't fast? The Pharisees' disciples fast twice a week. I invite you to explore that question on your own, and I've given you the references in the Bible to check that out. But more than that, Jesus presumed that you and I would be fasting after Jesus' death and resurrection. In at least two places, Jesus used this phrase, "when you fast." Not if you fast, but when you fast. Jesus has some instructions for us when we do undertake a time of fasting. Fasting was a sign of piety, and there were some people, I'm talking about those Pharisees, they would use fasting for the purpose of publicly demonstrating their piety. Some people used fasting for their own purposes instead of using fasting for God's purposes. Public demonstrations of piety. But Jesus fasted while Jesus was completely alone. Jesus' fasting is how we usually consider fasting. Jesus did not eat anything. I gave this some more thought since the Wednesday night Bible study. Jesus probably ate nothing at all. And I say that because Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, is not life more than food?" Jesus also told the disciples that while on the mission, do not carry a bag, which would usually be a bread bag. The disciples on the mission field were to depend on their hosts for food. Eat whatever is put in front of you, are Jesus' instructions. Eat whatever they give you. Eat what is offered you. So Jesus' disciples are not going to be sure to keep kosher, we would say. They're going to eat whatever is given them. So Jesus may have made no provision for his fast in the desert and depended on the Heavenly Father to provide for him. If Jesus is fasting from eating anything, the devil's temptation is crafty. Jesus doesn't have bread, but Jesus has the power to make bread from stones, and Jesus has been given the power to do just that. Does God intend that Jesus use the powers given him to take care of his bodily hunger? No. Remember, Jesus could heal everyone, but Jesus did not walk down the street using his power to heal everyone he saw willy-nilly, blanket, across the road, building to building. And so we learn a lesson here. Just because we have been given the power to do something does not mean that we should do something. That's why it can be tough to decide what to do. It isn't always what you can do, but rather we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what God wants us to do. Let me put it this way. Do you want to do good, or do you want to do what is best? Many of us are capable of doing good, but God wants us to do what is best to do, God's will. And Jesus' response is a quotation from the Old Testament. Jesus' response to the devil is a quotation from the Old Testament. And in that quote and Jesus' statement is a key to living a new life in Jesus Christ. Don't live through physical means only. Don't live through bread only. Physical sustenance is not really living. Jesus will later say in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Is not life more than food? You and I, to really live, this life, we need God's word. We need God's will. Food will help our bodies, but food alone will not place us in the will of God. You and I will need the Holy Spirit, the words that proceed from the mouth of God. Fasting can help you to focus on what is really important in life, real living, abundant living, new life, life in Jesus Christ. I could also mention that the disciples did fast, or I should say the apostles fasted. The apostles appear to have fasted for discerning God's will and dedicating and committing themselves to the will of the Lord. It's mentioned twice in the book of Acts, after Jesus died and was resurrected. So what other kinds of fasts are there besides the one we usually think of, which is not eating anything? Rick Warren and his church, Saddleback Church, have practically made an industry with a diet called the Daniel Fast. I won't explain it so much as to mention the reference in the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel 9:3, Daniel 1:8, Daniel 1:12. In those verses, Pastor Rick Warren interprets a diet or fast of no rich food and vegetables only. And they call it a Daniel Fast, and it even has its own website. You can look it up there. Of course, there is John the Baptizer's diet of locusts and honey, but Saddleback Church did not grab on to that diet, but for the life of me, I can't understand why. Now, in our century and in our culture, a diet of bread and water only is considered a form of punishment. But in Roman times, that might have been the usual meal. And it certainly was the usual meal for Roman soldiers. Now, in checking on other diets that are in the Bible, you go to the internet and you try to type that in, look that up, and You find out about a pastor in Virginia who came up with a diet plan he called BOD for God. That's right, BOD for God. The program emphasizes honoring God, and the I in the word diet, the letter I, stands for inspiration. But there didn't seem to me to be much to the diet or the fast with regard to seeking God or prayer. Here's another one called the Hallelujah Diet based on Genesis 1:29. So all you eat are fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts. Basically, it's a vegan diet. There is an extension of that diet called the Bible Way Diet. Now, another diet that's been around for 30 years, clearly a popular diet, is called the Way Down Diet. It isn't really much of a diet, and not really a fast, since you can eat anything you want. But it does emphasize prayer. Their own website states the only exercise God requires is surrendering your will to His perfect system of hunger and fullness. I'm okay with that, but a part of me wants to know whether God ever told anyone else in America on the Way Down diet to eat locusts. Because that's in the Bible. All of these plans are a type of fasting. Fasting from certain foods or fasting from a lot of foods. But the reason behind almost all of them is weight loss. Not drawing close to the Lord. Fasting is supposed to get us in tune with God's will. One other type of fast I want to mention, because I have a friend who's fascinated by fasting and its religious basis. However, he also wonders about the physical, biological benefits of fasting. And there are books available on this very topic. Most of them claiming to be scientific, and yet others that are not scientific enough. Here's a book title, Fasting for the Cure of Disease. That should certainly get a lot of people's attention. Here's another title, Fasting, the Natural Way to Cleanse Your Body and Mind. That book is not Bible-based, and scientific studies find no benefit to so-called cleansing diets. Here's a book title, The Miracle of Fasting. Well, it would be a miracle if you believed the author of that book. Here's another, The Complete Guide to Fasting, Heal Your Body. This book, too, is really about weight loss. And there's Periodic Fasting, Repair Your DNA, Grow Younger. That's all one title. Periodic Fasting, Repair Your DNA, Grow Younger. This is an old book in terms of research and science, 2003, and there are no studies to back up the author's claims. And because all these books put me in a funny mood, I'm going to roll with it. Here's a quote from Roslyn Anderson at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, who's a researcher in fasting. She states that life is too short even if calorie restriction extends it. You know, by this she means, sure, you can starve and live longer, but why would you want to? And to me, the kicker is that she did all her research with monkeys. So if you want your monkey to outlive you, by all means, starve your monkey. Okay, I'm done. Let's finally turn to real fasting. Jesus' complaint with the Pharisees was their emphasis in fasting. The Pharisees' emphasis was not on being near to God, but rather the Pharisees' desire was to be seen as pious. To appear pious to others. Jesus says, that's why you Pharisees fast. The prophet Isaiah, whom Jesus quotes more than any other prophet, the prophet Isaiah saw the very same problem in the people of Isaiah's day. Isaiah 58. Thus says the Lord, is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to appear humble? Is that what you call a fast? a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? And the Lord continues in verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. This is a fast for the Lord, says God's word. A fast that produces the will of God in our lives. Our Lord Jesus said, we are not to live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen.